Blog Talk Radio.
Once again to another episode of Dubwise Talk. I am Jude Adara, your host, and you cannot imagine how thrilled that I am to have this very special artist with a very special gift of conveyance. Her name is the Honorable Jan Blake. I'm so sorry. And her performance is captivating. Greetings, Jan. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Judah. How are you?
I am so thrilled, sister. You have no idea when I saw your performance on YouTube, I was like mesmerized, and I made myself find you and hunt you down. And thank God for the technology of today. You are in Europe somewhere, traversing through the Alps, no doubt.
No, and I'm in London. I'm in London on my way to New Haven to do a show.
I see, I see. Well, welcome again, beloved. You're quite welcome. Before we proceed, we're going to listen to this message here by Yunnan Imports. They are our new guests. Hold on, here we go, Ray.
Greetings, Aquava. Yunnan Imports. Yunnan Imports. Yunnan Imports. They are located at 6971 North Sheridan Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60626. This two-room garden level shop specializes in arts and crafts, body care products, and clothing, mostly from Kenya and West and Central Africa. They also specialize in authentic hand-carved wood masks that have the spirit infused in them, alongside the bags made of kente cloth and knit Rastafarian tapestry carved wood jewelry. The body products include several kinds of pure, unrefined shea butter, as well as black soap made from the ashes of leaves, bark, and cocoa pods, mixed with shea butter or palm oil, then cured, which is noted for its deep cleansing properties. Aside from that, Yunnan Imports exudes an ambiance that is one to remember. Do yourself a favor. Take some time and go over to Yunnan Imports, located at 6971 North Sheridan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60626, and see who I call Doc, Brother Al Yunnan. You'll be glad you did.
Yes, beloved, and we're black with the honorable. I call her honorable because when you hear her exuberance and feel her passion, you will know why. Where were you born, beloved?
I was born in March 1964 in Manchester, UK.
Manchester, England. And are your parents also native Englanders as well?
No, they're Jamaican.
Jamaican, I see, I see.
Yeah.
Now I can see the spice, I can see the spice. So tell us, what was art like in your home growing up? What kind of art were you exposed to? We may be losing Jan Blake from moment. She's traveling via train. And so we're just going to forge on. Her work, as I said, is so amazing. I'm just honored that she could make the show. While we're waiting for her to tune back in, we are brought to you by Lalibela's Ethiopian restaurant. They are located at 5633 North Ashland Avenue. And they have an amazing array of dishes that are healthy and colorful and stimulating. Do yourself a favor. Go by Lalibela's at 5633 North Ashland Avenue and see Samson and his lovely wife, Heru, and be glad that you did. And we are brought to you by Popcorn Haven. They are located in the southwest side of Chicago, and they have over 500 flavors for your delicate, for your palate. So we just lost her again. Oh, my God. Well, we're going to play a song while we wait on her. We're going to play this song by Master C.
hit the battlefield. You got to have thick skin in order to survive. Oh yeah. Oh, how it hurts to be rejected. So, so much pain to be neglected.
She's traveling by train, so bear with us. She has so much to tell us. Now, tell us about the art exposure that you had in your home, Jan.
Well, it's all been a bit of a surprise, really. I had no idea this is the path I would take, but here I am, traveling globally, telling stories, inspiring, being inspired, sharing the story. I guess that's what I'm meant to be doing with my life, so I'm doing it.
So who were the storytellers that you saw? I think I missed that.
Hello?
We lost. Hello, Jan.
Hello, I can hear you. Hello?
Yeah, we have you here. So who were the early storytellers that you saw?
When I first started, I observed a brother called Tuup, T-U-U-P, which means the unorthodox, unprecedented preacher. And if you can get him on the show, you should, because he's amazing. And he inspired me a lot.
Please text me his information for me, please. I would be honored. So tell us, what was the story that first resonated in your soul, Dan, while growing up?
That's a big question. I've been doing it for a long time, so you're asking me to go through 30 years worth of experiences and try and pull out one.
Well, what I want to know is before your commencement of telling, what story was it that resonated in? Yes, tell us about that one.
Oh, it was a story. First story I heard, the first storytelling group that I worked with was called Tortoise and Hunter, which is a Ghanaian cautionary tale about how ambition can blind you and deafen you to wisdom. And that resonated with me because I'd never heard a story like that before. It's about a hunter called Wow and how he doesn't listen. He finds a singing tortoise and the tortoise is singing, trouble doesn't go looking for man, man goes looking for trouble. But he's so fascinated by the creature that he doesn't listen to the message and ends up in deep trouble.
So much need these stories again, and we can turn off the television and everything and sit down and listen to stories that resonated in our souls. I wish those days were here still, you know?
It's true, and I think that although I did, you know, I'm a child of the TV generation, so I grew up with television, so I don't have anything against it per se, but I believe the value of listening to the wisdom that is in these folk tales is necessary, more necessary now than they ever were.
Oh, absolutely. Totally, absolutely. I pine for those days, and that is why I look so forward to having storytellers on my show so that I can keep the interest perked. And if you will, would you mind telling us a story now?
Oh, my goodness. I've got an audience full of a trainload of people. Let me think, top of my head.
While you think,
I wasn't expecting to tell you a story, Judah, I have to say.
Well, don't fret, beloved. Don't fret. We can always proceed. So let's talk about the stories that you first told. What kind of stories did you tell in the beginning, and how have they changed till now, if there is
when
any change whatsoever?
Yeah, when I first started, I didn't really, you know, I was quite young, so I didn't really have an idea, an understanding of the function of stories. I just enjoyed the comedy of them, I suppose. And I told a lot of Anansi stories because they're quite big and brassy, and you have to have quite a big and brassy personality to tell those stories. And I suppose when you're young and carefree, you can bring that to that kind of story. But as I've grown older, you start to realize that human beings are so complex, and the different variations of stories that are out there are there to reflect back to us just how complex we are as human beings. So I guess the stories that I tell now are more reflective and, I suppose, a lot more compassionate and a bit more embracing of who people are.
Do all storytellers have to embrace passion?
To want to... I think most people who love what they do are passionate people. I don't think it's something that is exclusive to storytellers. But I think more than passion, I think you have to embrace what it means to be human in all forms without judgment. I think that's the most important quality.
Couldn't you expound on that a little more?
Well, I think that, you know, when, again, going back to my youth, when you're young, it's easy to be judgmental and dismissive or to be, to have less empathy for people's weaknesses and failings. But the role of the storyteller, I think, really is to embrace all of those failings, weaknesses, and strengths, and beauty,
and ugliness.
Because we're all made up of all of it. We're not exclusively more wise or more gifted or more beautiful than anybody else just because we tell stories. We're just as capable as everybody else of the darkness.
Uh-huh.
Do you understand what I mean?
Go on.
So I think that as you develop as a human being, you're more able to accept what it means to be human. It's not, we're not perfect. We never were meant to be perfect. We're here on a journey. The journey is about learning. Hopefully we can inspire people on the way. And storytellers maybe have a tool, which is the story.
Working
more on ourselves and on helping us to embrace others.
Wow. That's pretty clear, the way you stated that. It is.
Yeah.
I'm so fascinated with the Anansi stories.
Anansi?
Yes, Anansi. I am so fascinated with them. I wish that I could remember one. What I can remember is fragments, and it was Anansi, of course, having to surmount this log that had blocked our pathway, and the challenge was to carry a load over the log, and that's all that I can remember. But I was so fascinated. In fact, I have a book in my collection called Caribbean Folk Tales and Stories.
Called? Say it again. It's called.
Repeat that, please.
Hello.
Yes. Repeat that, please.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said the book was called.
It was called Caribbean Folk Tales and Folk Stories. Folk Stories and Tales. That's what it was called.
Okay.
And,
is it by Philip Sherlock, by any chance?
Repeat that, please.
Is it by Philip Sherlock?
Ah.
he was the great collector of Caribbean folk tales in the 50s and 60s.
There is a great value to everything that we used to do. And the wise among us purchase it or get it while the rest of us sleep. What do you think about that?
I think that we all have our moments of wisdom and folly. There's a time when I would have been maybe more in line with what they're saying, but stories have softened me, I think. And I think that we're all capable of being wise, we're all capable of being foolish. It just depends on the circumstances.
Do you have children, Jan?
Yeah, I have one boy.
And what is his proclivity to? Is he following in your footsteps?
I wish he was. It's difficult for him.
Don't we all wish that our children would follow in our footsteps?
Yeah. No, I think it's difficult for him to see the true value of storytelling. One day maybe he'll see it. But right now, he's where I was when I started. He's 22. He's young.
Yeah.
And who cares?
Yeah, yeah. My 20-year-old. Yeah. My 20-year-old really cares less about the substantive things that I've been trying to teach him. Sometimes I feel like it's futile, but I believe that some of it sinks in, like one or two seeds out of a handful will germinate.
I think you have to, there's a section, the Sundiata epic, where King Magan Konfata is disappointed that Sundiata isn't displaying the qualities of a king, and he goes to see his blacksmith and tells him that a tree doesn't grow overnight. It has to sink its roots into the ground, and it has to stretch towards the sun, and it has to stretch out its branches so that it can shelter the people who sit beneath. And he warns the king not to be impatient, to wait for the tree to grow. And I think that's what we have to do.
Yes, indeed. We have to. Now, that is definitely African wisdom.
Yeah.
We are chatting with the lovely and the talented and the beautiful Jan Blake. Do yourself a favor, ladies and gentlemen, and check this sister's performance on Facebook. And if you are anytime in Europe, do check her out. She is spellbinding. At this time, we're going to take a break and listen to this song by one of my favorite artists on the planet. His name is Mark Terrence Tate. You'll see why. This is Dubwise Talk, and I got Judah Ra, your host.
Y'all ever know anybody? Used to have to be in the house before the street lights come on. Yeah. But it's about that cat. And this is his song.
My boy died for being the one, and now my nightmare has become. one word was even said. I still can't believe my best friend is dead. I cursed the devil that took his life, but I'm a cheat and sign his name into the book of life.
Streetlights by Mark Terrence Tate. We are black with the lovely and the talented Jan Blake. However, she's lost her signal again. Might tell you that she is riding on the train in England. So from time to time, we will lose her as we have earlier. But while we are waiting for her to reconnect, I'd like to tell you that we are brought to you again by Lalibela's Ethiopian Restaurant. They're located at 5633 North Ashland in Chicago. And we are brought to you by Popcorn Haven. They are located at 111th and Cicero. We have a new sponsor, and we're going to let you hear about
greetings, Aquava. Unan Imports. Unan Imports. Unan Imports. They are located at 6971 North Sheridan Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60626. This two-room garden metal shop specializes in arts and crafts, body care products, and clothing, mostly.
And we are back with Jan. You're back, right, Jan?
How you doing?
All right, beloved, we totally understand what's going on. I have a question for you, and this question is for an aspiring storyteller. What are some of your tools? What are some of the tools that you recommend to an aspirant?
Curiosity is the most important one.
Curiosity.
Yeah. Seeking spirit. Desire to understand what it means to be human and live in this world. Add that to talent for embracing others. Talent for delighting and charming. And a sincere heart. Some tricks.
So the more important, the first one that stands out in your mind is curiosity. Can you expound on the curiosity aspect?
Sorry, I lost you there, Judah. Say that again.
All right. I see the first one noted is curiosity. Can you give us some more insight as to why curiosity is such a vital aspect of storytelling?
I think having a seeking spirit, wanting to really understand why people do the things they do, what drives people to do the things they do, I think that is potential. I think that without that, why would you tell stories? Why would you explore the nature of being human if you didn't, you weren't curious about human beings?
Amazing, amazing. So tell us, what can be an inspiration to you to want to learn a new story? Is that also curiosity?
I think it has to kind of grab you. You know, the, I don't know if you have the quality, but, you know, the part of you that says, oh, my goodness me, I have got to tell somebody this thing that I just saw happen. You know?
Yes, I got that, yes.
And it happens in everyday life. I think folk tales and stories, they're just heightened incidences of things that happen in everyday life.
I love that. I love that. So it's like taking little snippets out of everyday life and telling about it, talking about it, illustrating it. Wow.
That's right. But folk tales come already with all those ingredients in it. Like, you can sit on the street, and I don't know if you like people watching. I do. You can watch people. You can see the way they interact. Suddenly a story comes into your mind, a folk tale, an existing folk tale from an old tradition comes into your mind, and it just speaks to you of what you're seeing in front of your eyes. And that feeling of, oh, my God, did you just see that, or did you just hear that? I've got to tell somebody what I just saw, what I just heard. It's the impulse of the storyteller also.
Well, that is something that I had not even considered, and I am so grateful for that lesson that I learned today. Give thanks, beloved. We are here with Jan Blake, and oh, how I wish that you could tell us a story. You could tell us
tell you a quick one.
Oh, give thanks.
I'll tell you a give quick thanks. One about Anansi.
Yes.
So Brother Anansi decided that he wanted to have all the wisdom in the world to himself. Like, if people wanted to have any of his wisdom, they'd have to pay for it. So he went around from person to person, asking him to speak their wisdom into a huge calabash bowl. When Anansi collected all the wisdom in the huge calabash bowl, he hung it from a string around his neck and decided to hide it in the topmost branches of the highest tree he could find in the forest. But unfortunately for Anansi, each time he tried to climb the tree, the calabash bowl prevented his ascent. And try as he might, he kept sliding down from the tree. Every time he tried to go up, he slid down, and he became more and more frustrated. Until his son, Intikuma, approached him. He said, "Father, what are you trying to do?" And Anansi said, "Don't question me. I'm your father. Watch and learn." And once more, Anansi tried to climb the tree. Once more, Anansi came down. So finally, Intikuma said, "Father, if you want to climb that tree, why don't you hang the calabash bowl behind you? It will make it easier." When Anansi realized he'd missed out that one essential piece of wisdom, he was so angry with himself that he took the calabash bowl and he threw it to the ground, and all the wisdom spread around the world, which is why you have some, I have some, your mother has some, your brother has some, your father, your child, your sister, your cousin. That's why we all have a little piece of wisdom, Anansi's wisdom. And that's the end of the story.
Oh, that is a beautiful story, beloved. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on the show.
It is definitely an honor, Goddess. Tell us how one can book you and your contact information, please.
Well, if you go on my website, which is janblakestories.co.uk, there's a contact sheet there. And if you want to book me, fill out the contact sheet. Myself and my manager, Suresh, will be in touch, and we'll take it from there.
Give thanks. And do you have any words of wisdom for anyone who wants to be a storyteller, a young person? What can you give them as one piece of wisdom?
One piece of wisdom. Yes. Remember, it's all about the heart. Human beings are all about the heart. Dark-hearted, clean-hearted, faint-hearted, strong-hearted, it's all about the heart.
Yes. Give thanks, beloved. We look forward down the road again to have you on the show and discuss some more of your perspectives. How would that fit with your schedule in the future, beloved?
Thank you, Judah. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yep, thanks. All right, we'll talk again. Peace and blessings. Take care, everyone. Spread love, spread unity, and spread stories. Once again, I'd like to tell you about the upcoming episodes. We're going to have Sister Madea Allen. She is a holistic food educator, a master raw food chef, as well as cooked foods that are nutritious. She will be with us on Thursday. And then on Friday, we have Sister Yvonne Pierce. She is an author and a lecturer and just a beautifully, beautifully endowed sister. Do tune in and check out Yvonne Pierce. And then next Monday, we have the lovely and the talented author. Her name is Joanna Sparrow. And that will be at 6 p.m. And following her, we will have Sister Nadhej Patah talking about her latest film, called Dodo TT. Do tune in. This is her film, and this is not lightweight. This is an actual feature film that makes me smile to think that our beloved sister Nadhej Patah has done such a fantastic feat. Also, we have on Thursday, the 23rd at 6 p.m., we're going to have Sister Valentia Timms, and she's going to be talking about Sojourner Truth and as well singing about Sojourner Truth. And then rounding it up on Friday the 24th, we are going to be delighted to have the Royal Sounds out of London, England as well. Massive reggae band. So we have a full schedule for you next week. And you need any music done for any occasion, for a commercial, give Judah Ra Music a call. We are definitely accessible and reasonable. All right. Spread love, spread unity, spread music, spread art.